So we have in the Parashas Bahar, there is a pasuk Lasanu Ishas Amito, which means two things. It means there's an Isir Ol Na in business. You're not allowed to gyp someone in business as far as Hilchas business. The Shtus is all the Gemara after Bar Mitzia. When is Ol Na Aser? When is it Mutter? When does the Ol Na Chayzer? Depending on the situation, but in general, there's a certain thing that you can't gyp people in business, and both the buyer and the seller. And then there's a second pasuk which repeats also. So the Chazal say that the second pasuk is going on that in verbal gypping, meaning hurting. Losono means to hurt someone verbally. You're not allowed to say something which will hurt someone else's feelings. The Mishnah Bar Mitzia. The Mishnah gives a few examples. Person's about tshuva. You don't tell him, remember, you're about tshuva. If a person, the Mishnah says, you do not ask someone how much a produce costs if you have no intention of buying it, because you're hurting him, you're getting his hopes up that you're going to make a sale, and then you're insulting him by not buying it. It's like you're saying, your produce is no good, you're overcharging. So that's an isser. To say something that will hurt people's feelings is an isser. So the Medrash is apparently going on this, that being careful with what you say. So it brings us follows. It's marked the last few lines. Rebbe also suda a talmidov. Rebbe made a suda for his talmidim. Now, my assumption is, assume it's a valid assumption, that Rebbe was not teaching in elementary school. Not that, nothing wrong with teaching elementary school, but just being that Rebbe was a Gadol Ador, the Manig Ador and the Nasi Ador. So Mistama, his Talmidim were the other Gedolei Ador, the future Gedolei Ador, who were on a pretty high madrega. Hevi lifneihem l'shaynas rak and l'shaynas kasha. So he served them tongue. You have to tell that to the yeshiva. He probably got a Pesach from the hotel. So he served the tongue that was soft and hard. In other words, some were cooked properly and some were overcooked. His chidu bari mirakim anichim akashim. So the talmidim, they put on a platter. Some tongue was edible, some weren't. So they picked out the ones that were soft, that was edible, and they left over the ones that were not edible, they were hard. Amr Lahem, so Rebbe says, De'u ma'atem oisem. Realize what you're doing. Kishem sha'atem b'yrim es harakim anichem es hakoshim. Just like you're taking the soft tongue and you're leaving over the hard tongue. Kach yedeshayin chimrach. So you should always choose a soft tongue. Eidolei, that when you speak to each other, you see, you don't like a hard tongue. You like a soft tongue. You always have a soft tongue. The fika fever moshes mitzvah v'chitim karmecher, and all the mepharshim say it's v'chulu, which is the psukim about olna. Okay, that's the medrash. Now my assumption is also, besides that Rebbe's talmidim were great talmidim, is that this was not just Rebbe wasn't serving tongue and just coincidental there happened to be some hard and soft, and then when it happened, Rebbe made this cute part. But pshat is that this was pre-planned. Rebbe went ahead. I think that's part of pshat. Rebbe wanted to convey this message. So he bedavka spoke to the cook, had him serve tongue, and he had them burn some and make some soft so that he could convey this message to the talmidim. Okay. That's the medrash. So, on a very simple point, the question would be, these are Rebbe's Talmidim, why does he have to go through any of this, mashal? Just tell them straight that it isn't, it's a mitzvah deraisa, it's a pasuk in the Torah, losonu ishes amizo, speak nicely to your friends, and that's it. What does he have to, Rebbe has to go ahead, what do you have to play game for? What do they need it for? Just tell them. It's a pasuk. So you see the you know, pretty obvious. That wouldn't be a, I don't know if that's a schmooze yet, that even great people, just telling them that it's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah deraisa, has a limited hashpa, but giving them an emotional chinuch hamusar experience adds to it. So therefore, even Rabbi Salmidim, this was, the chinuch hamusar was better than just, Rabbi could have just said, call this Talmidim and given a speech to my Talmidim, I want you to know, there's an issa deraisa, well, so you know, you gotta speak nicely to each other. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died because they didn't speak nice, whatever it is. Could have given them a Musar Shmuz, but instead of giving him a Musar Shmuz, he used this activity, which was Chinuch HaMusar. So it's a Chinuch HaMusar. So you see the importance of Chinuch HaMusar. Right? That's the simple Shmuz, which is I assume it does qualify for Shmuz. I'll take it back. That's the Shmuz that you see the Chinuch HaMusar, even something so basic and simple that it's a beferish pasuk in the Torah, but Chinuch HaMusar is beneficial. The problem is, what I think what makes the Shmuz so much greater is that it's very hard to understand altogether what the Chinuch HaMusar here is. What's the Chinuch HaMusar? Right? I'll give him a show. I don't know if I get a mashal, but I'll give a mashal. We had, the yeshiva had, years ago, we had a dinner. And we had a speaker, a very, very chashuv and a very good speaker. So he told a story that it was him, it was someone else, doesn't make a difference, that it was a rainy day and his children were home and they were bored, they had nothing to do. So there was, he had a picture in the newspaper of a map of the world. And so he decided to make a game for his kids. So he cut the map into pieces and he gave it to his kids, figured, keep them busy. He made a puzzle out of it and gave the kids, here's, cut up the world into many little small pieces, figure out how to put the world together. That's it, okay? Figure, keep them busy for a while. 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes later, the kid comes, he has it all figured out. He says, wow, how did you know? You don't know the map of the world. You don't know where England goes. You don't know where France is. How did you be able to figure it out? So he said it was easy because on the other side of the newspaper, there was a picture of a boy. So then he knows a picture of a boy. So he put the boy together. So he said, Hashmuz, you put together a boy and you build the whole world. That was the speech. So I am not making fun. Be careful. I am being mishabeach this speech. So I'm not trying to make it. But there was someone in the audience, I remember. What kind of crazy speech? And what if there would have been a picture of a dog on the back? And what if there would have been a picture of a beer bottle on the back? And what if there was a picture of a car on the back? It just happened to be, first of all, probably never even happened. It's a make-believe story. You made up that there was a picture on one side of the world and on one side a boy. So make up on one side there's a car and one side of the world and one side there's an airplane. Build an airplane. You say, well, you know, one a beer bottle. It's like, it's totally made up. There's no validity. It's less than mukhruch. It's not even drudge. There's no possibility of a connection that you build a person, you make a world. But that's exactly what's happening here. What is a tongue? A tongue of an animal. Right? It happens to be a tongue is a tongue. Okay. You know, the tongue of the animal is the same tongue that a human uses to speak. The animal doesn't talk. A cow doesn't talk. I mean, I don't know, maybe he says moo with his tongue, but it doesn't speak nicely or not nicely with its tongue, or as far as I know. Okay. So that the cow has a tongue. You're eating the tongue. When the tongue is hard because it's overcooked, has nothing to do with a hard tongue, which when you speak not nicely. It's just, it's the same word. We say a soft tongue if it's soft because it's nice, it was cooked properly, and it's soft because it's considerate. It's just purely coincidental that they both happen to be the word soft. And it just happened to work out that a hard tongue doesn't taste good. Some things hard does taste good. You know, a raw egg doesn't taste good. A hard egg does taste good. It just happens to be that by tongue, I don't think the Rebbe really believed that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, I mean, maybe that's shot, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that tongue, when you cook it hard, doesn't taste good, because he wanted to teach a lesson that hard tongues, when you speak hard, it's purely pashtus, it's a purely coincidental, it's just a cute trick on words, that you, when you, we call, when someone speaks nicely, we call it soft. When someone speaks not nicely, we call it hard. It happens to be coincidental that when you cook a tongue and you cook it hard, it doesn't taste good. So he came ahead and he said, look what you're doing. You're picking the soft tongues and not the hard tongues. Always pick a soft tongue. I mean, this is not even chinuch hamusar. This is some kind of, it's just a meaningless. If Rebbe were to do chinuch hamusar with the Talmidim, he would have them, let's all practice, let's all go out and practice chinuch hamusar. Everyone, I want a project, everyone to go out and say three compliments to people, you know, every day. Okay, that's chinuch hamusar. Practice talking in a low tone of voice. Practice not screaming. Practice smiling. Practice. It's chinuch hamusar. You're getting into a habit. So there's a certain, the Bawe Musar talk about chinuch hamusar, which is advantageous over just intellectual knowledge. You know, you get into the habit. The habit goes that people are affected by their habit. There's no habit here. It's because I'm picking soft tongues and not hard tongues when it comes to eating. So I'm getting into the habit of speaking nicely. Eating a tongue and speaking nicely is not say, oh, I got into a habit that I speak nicely because when I pick the tongue to eat, I pick the soft tongue. There's no habit. The whole part of chinuch hamusar, as we understand it, as a habit forming, so that without thinking, the part of chinuch hamusar is here. Very often we function without thinking. So without thinking, I'll do what's right. There's no chinuch hamusar here. This is just a cute play on words that just coincidental. It's like the guy who, you know, the guy who is in Rosh Hashanah, he puts out a raisin on a salary, says, I want a raisin salary. it's nothing to do with anything. It's cute. So, you know, you eat raisins and salary, so it's a chinuch hamusar, I get raisins and salary. It's not, so what you see here, apparently, that what this person's speech was pretty good. It was the same thing that Rebbe did. Right? In other words, what you see here is even great people, even Rebbe's Talmidim, who we're assuming are great people, and Rebbe thought it was so important to do this that he plotted it in advance, pashtus. And not only that, but they recorded it in the Mishnah, because it was such an amazing chap that Rebbe did. It should go down for Dairis. Is that even though it's totally not mukhruch, not even, it doesn't even have a semblance of mukhruch, it's not even maybe right, it has no shaykhus, it's nothing to do with anything, but it's the maisa, you're doing an action of saying, of actions, you're doing an action of picking a soft tongue, so that has a hashpah on you. Person's physical action is mashpia. So when you frame it this way, you are picking soft tongues. Oh, be committed to soft tongue. So even though that wasn't the soft tongue I was picking, but once you connect and you say a soft tongue is connected to speaking softly, and look, and you did an action of taking a soft tongue, so that means you're doing an action of you like soft tongue, because we're making this connection, which is really totally artificial, but we're making that connection. So you have the chinuch hamusar of I'm physically practicing soft tongues. So it ingrains it into my being. I'm a pro soft tongue. I did an action of pro-soft tongue. I, that soft tongue has nothing to do with tongues of speaking. Doesn't make a difference because we connected it. We made an artificial connection based on the pun that they're both called tongues, or they're both physical tongues, and soft is soft. It's a similar word. So now you did a maisa. You did a maisa of, you know, there's a person learns. It's a very yesidistic thing that people are not only what they call not only, you know, they're not only learned from intellectual, they need acting. And even this kind of artificial acting out, that you're acting out something that has no shaykhis, you're eating a soft tongue and saying, I don't like tongue to eat when it's hard, has a hashbah. Maybe you have to say it. If Rebbe wouldn't have made the connection, I don't think it would have had a hashbah, because I don't know, you know, because no one would connect a hard tongue to speaking not nice to a person. But once Rebbe made the connection and said that this symbolizes this and this symbolizes that, and you can hear the symbolism, so that means that you acted out. You picked the symbol of speaking nicely and you pushed away the symbol of speaking nicely, so that has a hashpah on a person. And so it's a schmooze on the power and how even great people are irrational, are not functioning right, are affected by their emotions, and they're affected by what their chitzonius and their behavior and the chinuch hamusar. And the person has the ability to create artificial chinuch hamusars. You say, I know it says in the Stipler, I don't remember where I saw it, or else I would have put it on the sheet, that someone came to the Stipler and said he was having problems with apikorsistic thoughts. He couldn't get it out of his head, certain apikorsistic thoughts. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. And, you know, it keeps on, maybe, how do I know? Maybe this is true, maybe this whatever, this Avodah Zarah is true, whatever it was that he was worried about. And he couldn't get it out of his head, maybe. So the Stipler told him, write down the thought that you're maybe on a piece of paper and throw it in the garbage. And that cured the guy. Now, you know, if he has an intellectual thought, he's intellectually, he can't convince himself that Christianity is not right. That's it. That's not what I said was. So taking, write down, maybe Christianity is right. Couple it up, throw in the garbage. Oh, okay. Now I'm intellectually, now I have no intellectual problems, right? But that's what he told him, and that's worked. There's people are the affected by the chitzonius. Does writing on a piece of paper have any meaning? That's but it's symbolic. I wrote down the thought, and I crumbled it up, and I threw it in the paper. So symbolically, I did an action that this thought is wrong, it's crazy, so therefore I don't think it anymore. That's how people are. People are mushba by the external. You do a symbolic ritual and it goes ahead and it brings it into your head. So symbolically, we said soft tongue, yes, bad tongue, no. So that goes ahead and is mechazek the heart. That even though, in other words, even the Talmidim or Rebbe, who of course knew, right, that's the shmuz. The shmuz is even the Talmidim or Rebbe who knew it before, but this had such a profound influence that this knocked it into their heads further. It's not like, you know, okay, you know, someone who doesn't know, but like if someone who already knows it 99%, but this seemingly silly, worthless action can have the ability to knock it further where an intellectual schmooze or whatever would not be able to go. Okay, we have a similar idea, because that's why I brought it to Shir Hashem. This is not my Bikiyas. This is Rav Homaner as a sefer called Ikrei Adinim on Hilchus Lashon Hara. So in the back of some of the versions of Ikrei Dinim, it's not in all of them, there is a Musa Sefer on Hilchus Lashon Hara. I think it's called Eitzah V'Toshiyah. I don't remember for sure. So he brings this medrash there. It says as follows, Rav Avu Reish Lokesh Havi'ayrin L'choda Medinosa T'Kisaryin. Rabbi Avu gets a Rebbe means that, not he wasn't a Tana, because Reish Lakish is an Amora, but it means he lived in Eretz Yisrael, right? So Reish Lakish was a Talmud of Yochanan, these are Amoraim, early Amoraim, Rav Yechon is an early Amora, Reish Lakish is an early Amora, I believe. So Rav Yavuo is apparently a contemporary Reish Lakish, but he had smicha because he was in Eretz Yisrael. So he was Anin, Echadim, Midas, and Sarian. So they were going to this Medina. Omine Rav Yavuo, Hashem ben Lakish. So Rav Yavuo said to Hashem ben Lakish, Ma'o Kain Alayin, and what are we doing? Why are we going to Bidinosa the Cherufa Gedufa? Why are we going to this country? These are such bad people in this country. They like curse out Hashem. I think what it means. The Machrev and Gedufa means they're cursing and making fun of. But I assume it means that they say negative things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People, it doesn't say exactly, but they're negative people. So why are we going to such a place? You know, why are we going here? We should go somewhere else. That's, you know, they were going, and this was on the route, for whatever reason. And he said, Rav Yavuo says, why are we stopping off at this city? You know, this is not a good city to go to. Let's continue. Let's bypass the city, go to a different city, whatever. Go to a different country. So, Nochus lay Reish Lakish min hachamra. So Reish Lakish got off his chamor. Fisafa chala. And he gathered together dirt or rocks, I'm not sure. V'yoe b'pume. And he put it in the mouth of Rav Yavuo. Right? He got off his horse. He got together some rocks. And he went and stuck it into Rav Avu's mouth. Omrele ma'ikein. Rav Yavuo says, what's going on? You know, it's a little hard to talk with rocks in your mouth, but apparently that's, you know. Because apparently, it's just an amazing story. He did not understand why Reish Lakish is doing that, but the Rebbe wants to put dirt in my rocks in my mouth, and okay, you know, put rocks in it, let him put rocks in mouth. But then you have to ask the Rebbe, like, why did you put rocks in my mouth? Amar lo, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu roitze b'misha omer delutra Yisrael. Hashem is not happy with people who speak Lashon Hara or negative on Klal Yisrael. You know, you were saying that the people, apparently the Jews in the city too, are doing these Averis. They're Charufa Gedufa. So you were saying Lashon Hara, I'm not sure it's Lashon Hara or Zerutra means sort of like negative, that like you're like, it's not so much Lashon Hara, like it's so much, it's more the emphasis is on like you're being, for the din, you're causing them to have a, you're being like the prosecutor. You're saying bad about them. You're, as if you're giving poseach pet a satan, that the satan has a right to criticize these people and have a din on these people. So it says that the Hashem doesn't like people who say bad things about people, about Klal Yisrael, and therefore I put the rocks in your mouth. Right? So I assume that Rav Yavuo beforehand already knows that there's an Aveira of Lashon Hara. He knows that you're not supposed to say bad about people. Mistama Rav Yavuo held that this was a Toeles, because he was asking Reish Lakish, we shouldn't go to this city, we should go somewhere else. Sounds like a Toeles. You know, he was pointing out to Reish Lakish, we should change the itinerary. Let's not go here. It's not the right place to go. But Reish Lakish was saying, Aval began, you shouldn't do it. Okay, so the Machlokes in Hashkafa, in Shulchan Aruch, whether this is considered a Toeles, is it the right thing to do or not? So Reish Lakish, if I was a Rebbe apparently here, I don't really know for sure if they were Rebbe or equal Chaverim, could be they were Chaverim, and just, you know, if you're Chaver, it takes Lashon Hara, he's supposed to do, you put the rocks in his mouth. I don't know. But whatever it was, so they were, Reish Lakish went ahead and felt that Rav Yavuo did something wrong. So he's correcting him. Okay? But why couldn't Reish Lakish just tell him, Rav Yavuo, that was Lashon Hara. That wasn't right. You think it's the Toeles, it's not the Toeles. You shouldn't have said it, even though you think it's the Toeles. But what is he? He has to go down and gather rocks and put them in Rav Yavuo's mouth. What's the purpose? Rav Yavuo doesn't know that Lashon Hara is bad, right? But it's the same. It's a similar idea. This is in a sense easier to understand than the Medrash, the first Medrash. It's easier and harder. It's easier because at least it makes sense. In the first Medrash, soft tongues and hard tongue has nothing to do with speaking nicely. Here, rocks in your mouth does really convey a message that you were doing something wrong. There's a logical connection. A person with rocks in his mouth means that he is, you know, there's a direct, it's not just symbolic. I mean, it's more than symbolic. There's more of a clear message. But it seems so unnecessary. You're talking about Rav Avoh. You're talking about an Amora. Person who, you know, remember we have Rav Avoh in the Gemara. There's a Chavra Reish Lakish. He knows Lashon Hara is Aser. He knows. So you got to, and it will chat. Edomai, he thought this was not Lashon Hara. So you just tell him that you made a mistake. You got to go in and stick rocks in his mouth. That's the proper way of chinuch. So I would say that's a chisaron in Gadus HaAdam, right? Gadus HaAdam, you go ahead and you stick rocks in your imagine it, Rabbi, you try that in school, if your kid speaks Lashon Hara, you're gonna stick rocks. I still remember when they used to wash your mouth out with soap, but, I don't think they do that anymore. But I remember that in school, there were teachers, they would make you wash your mouth out with soap. But that's what it is. But you think that's for little kids, you know, that used to be in elementary school, there were teachers, and if they caught a kid saying something they didn't like, they made him go to the bathroom and wash his mouth with soap. But, okay, but not with an Amora. An Amora, you gotta go ahead and put rocks in his mouth. You know, that's not covered to them. You just tell him, you know, you made a mistake in Cheshbon. But the word is that this is Chinuch HaMusar. Chinuch HaMusar, even Amoraim need. And it's not enough just to tell Rav Avoh, well, you know, that was Lashon Hara. Because whatever Rav Avoh is Moira Heter, so he's liable to be Moira Heter again. But you gotta do a Maisa. You gotta take rocks and put it in his mouth. And now you get the message. Now it goes home. Now it's so much stronger. When people have Chinuch HaMusar, even it's so much stronger. So what you see from both Chazals is that even great people, even whether it's Rabbi Salmidim, who we assume were great people, or Rabbi Avu, who for sure we know is a great person, he's an Amora, and they need it's advantageous not just to speak out the Musar, which is what, you know, we're very big in Sabaka. They say that's supposedly Sabaka was big in Chachmas HaMusar, and other yeshivas were more into Chinuch HaMusar. But you see here that even with great people, it's not a chisar in the Gadus HaAdam to use Chinuch HaMusar, to recognize that Chachmas HaMusar is not enough. Person needs also physical actions to bring, to knock into your head a concept. When you physically act out, you physically act something, and they're both the same idea. There they physically acted out by eating soft tongues and throwing out the hard tongues. Here you physically got the message that speaking bad on people is bad. You get rocks in your mouth. So by doing a physical message, it brings home the point and makes a much stronger roshem than if you would just hear Musar without the physical ma'isa.